We have a task to deliver. A new global commission has been established on Common Security 2022 to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the publication of the original report, Common Security, a Blueprint for Survival. And I think it's very instructive that on the cover of the book that I have is a picture of civil society mobilizing against the proliferation of nuclear weapons at the time that the first report was produced. Today's work will feed into the work of the commission. It will be part of the website. It will inform the content of the report that we will be producing as a commission. And I'd like to thank everybody for the time that they have taken and the ideas that they've expressed. A number of observations I'd like to make. First of all, world at a turning point, the world at a tipping point. We are going backwards. We are drifting. Hence, this report has to have a sense of urgency. The doomsday clock was 100 seconds to is 100 seconds to midnight. Now, when the Olof Palme Commission began its work in 1980, it was a whole 7 minutes. Nuclear weapons are continue to be a menacing shadow over our civilization. We are saying that they are the most discriminate, the most destructive, most indiscriminate, most inhuman, most immoral, and now illegal weapons in human civilization. The human consequences are catastrophic. The environmental consequences are catastrophic, all of which underline the existential threat that they pose. What we have to do is to break the denial, break the ignorance, and to break the belief that everything is fine with the current state of affairs. When we look at common security, what we have at the moment is a sense that mutual destruction is winning over any process or thinking towards building our common security. There is a new urgency. What are the new dynamics that we see that inform the new commission that is established? We haven't mentioned it today, but strategic competition across the board. Strategic competition in the nuclear field, in the economic field, in the military field, technology field, and in the field of democracy and beliefs. This is far away from a sense of common security. We see a polarized political discourse, which is something I don't think the original report looked at in enough detail, but we need to see this now. We have what is new for this commission is the knowledge of the consequences which Helen so eloquently talked about in the midst of the COVID-19 global pandemic, which gives us a sense of proportion and the sense of failure which we face. What I think is new is the new global fault lines. The original report was about East-West. When we look at the world now, we have more fingers on the trigger, 9 nuclear powers, 26 hosts. And we have all these global front lines in place, which means a much more global look at the situation of common security in the current global context. The architecture of control has disappeared. Sergio mentioned the restraints are weakening or even being severed. We have a new arms, a new investment, $1.9 trillion in military expenditure, $72 billion of which is on nuclear weapons each year. I think in the US, the program of nuclear renewal reaches something like $1.7 trillion. And on top of that, the United Kingdom has decided to send a message to the world that they're going to increase their nuclear warheads by 40%. This is wrong, this is discouraging, and it means that the stakes for us are growing higher. The digital and cybersecurity concerns have been mentioned, as has the creeping feasibility of the use of these weapons in conflict situations, on top of all the other worries that you've all mentioned about the danger of use, about non-state actors, about miscalculation, misreading, accidents. Those worries have always been with us and never left us. I think it's important we also have to consider what is the message to the Commission from what we are saying. And I think we can remind ourselves of what Olof Palme said all of those years ago. And I think they're still relevant today. And we have to drive this message home. And he said that no victors in a nuclear war. that they that this commission concluded it was impossible to win a nuclear war and dangerous for states to pursue policies or strategies based on the fallacious assumption that a nuclear war might be won. This is relevant today for the new commission. Deterrence cannot be made foolproof. This is relevant today. That nations must abandon doctrines and preparations for fighting limited nuclear war as a matter of deliberate policy. Relevant today. That nuclear deterrence cannot provide at the long-term basis for peace, stability, and equity in international society. It must be replaced by the common security. And the most telling conclusion that struck me was, the conclusion, and I quote, is therefore inevitably that nuclear weapons must be eliminated. Eliminated is what they said. And what everybody has said today, message was relevant then and is even more relevant today. We talked about other issues that the dimension must address. I think strategic competition needs to be addressed. And our sense would be, well, strategic cooperation. We need to go deeper into not just the global dimension as a commission, East, West, yes, the Korean Peninsula, India, Pakistan, Iran and the JCPOA, and of course, USA, China and the South China Sea tensions. The original report was very much focused on East, West. This new report and a new commission has to embrace a much broader discourse in terms of the global impact of what we are seeing to try and fix and reset global geopolitical relations. We need to look at nuclear postures, and I think in the commission we will have to do an event such as this, looking particularly at Asia and Pacific. Palmer One talked about a downward spiral and a downward momentum, and I think what we've heard today is a whole series of ideas about how we can bring about a downward spiral and downward momentum. People have talked about putting on the brakes. They've talked about putting de-escalation. Helen introduced the idea of all this the other dimensions of the conversation about hair trigger controls, about other policy matters. We need to talk about reducing stockpile, reducing warheads, improving surveillance and verification, cutting expenditure and cutting investment, to question the expansion and to question the nuclear postures. We have to look again at what is the kind of architecture of control in the sense of common security that we could produce. There are no source of alternative thinking here. Our alternatives are real, and I think they have weight. From the elders to the UN to civil society, the labor movement, the environmental movement, the peace movement, the religious movements and church, to the mayors of peace. There are other alternative ideas. These need oxygen, and I hope they find their place in this piece. There are new ideas we can use, our leverage. Question the investment. When we look at the world's polluters, it's about 90 companies involved. If we look at nuclear production and the business models behind it, this is a manageable number to question the investment that we see. We have, therefore, I like this idea that we see that we have this new dimension of the TPNW. Alexander's got this great job. We're going to come there and rejoice. We will criticize the world, Alexander. We will make a noise. Let's get tens of thousands of people in the street of Austria. Our message to the world is that we have an alternative, that this is the alternative. And don't let politicians sleep and lie to us about how secure we should be sleeping at nights when these menacing, indiscriminate, immoral, and now illegal weapons are present. Indeed, we have to change the narrative. We have to stop the denial, so to speak. And I think we have a job to do to develop that story, that narrative, and the tales that we can tell about what this means. Nagasaki, Hiroshima experience, of course. Shristi, our young voice. We have young commissioners in this commission, eloquent, bringing home to us the message about what this means for future generations. So these are just a few thoughts for us to hinge our work going forward. I thank the panelists. I thank the IPP office. COVID-19, we're talking about build back better. We cannot build back better when we are spending $1.9 trillion on our military, and we have 14,000 nuclear weapons on this planet. It's time to reimagine our world, and that's the challenge to this commission. Time to reimagine, time to apply the brakes. It's time to prohibit and eliminate these nuclear weapons. I am delighted that we have the TPNW, which gives us a hook. There is a big responsibility on civil society. We have to raise our voice and mobilize our people once again. We are being challenged. At the very first meeting, we were challenged by one of the original members of the commission. The world needs a wake-up call. We have to provide that wake-up call. Therefore, the responsibility that we have to convey this narrative, to get out of the state of denial, to bring together all strands of civil society in a common unified voice for elimination of these weapons is a responsibility which we must deliver. We cannot afford to fail in this endeavor.